Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Welcome to Sunday Night Live.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Beth. Tonight's teaching is the differences between being successful or not. Now, truthfully, I was going to teach something else. I wrote half of it today. But then it's kind of like the Lord said, not yet. I've been trying to teach this for 2 weeks. So
maybe next week
we'll talk about Christ overcomes viruses and infectious diseases. It's good, though. It really is. It gave me some real revelation.
I believe it.
Now to tonight's teaching. Have you ever read a scripture that ignited a mental firestorm in you and just stirred your spirit? And for me, it energized my keys, my fingers on these laptop keys. Here's the scripture that fired me up. Proverbs 12:24, the New Living Translation. Work hard, become a leader. Be lazy, become a slave. As I read the scripture, I began thinking about the differences between being successful or not. Brian Tracy, the noted author, success teacher, once said, successful people always looking for opportunities, help others. Unsuccessful people are always asking, what's in it for me? Being successful is not necessarily the result of your education, experience, family background, or luck. But neither is being unsuccessful. It's not the result of any of those things either. Well, here are the 12 keys to you being successful. Whether you're successful or not. Number one, successful people make plans, but unsuccessful people make excuses.
In 2 Thessalonians 3:10, in the Message Bible, we've been into that Message Bible lately, it says, don't you remember the rule we had when we lived with you? If you don't work, you don't eat. And now we're getting reports that a bunch of lazy good-for-nothings are taking advantage of you. This must not be tolerated. We command them to get to work immediately. No excuses, no arguments, and earn their own keep. Friends, don't slack off in doing your duty. And that could be doing your duty either way.
That's right. If you spend your life looking for an excuse, you'll never find the time to answer the problem.
That's true.
And as I've said many times, if you're good at making excuses, you'll never be good at anything else.
In Proverbs 1, verse 25, in the New International Version, it says, the plans of the diligent lead to profit as surely as haste leads to poverty. Wow. We've actually written extensively on both plans and excuses in the past. And you really need to visit haroldherring.com and do some research on both of these topics. You'll find a plethora, how's that, of really information that you could use. People with excuses, they'll never be remembered for what they did and even what they might could have done, really.
True.
Number two, successful people live disciplined lives. Unsuccessful people do what feels good at the moment. You know, leading a disciplined financial life is often saying no to impulse buying and yes to becoming debt-free. A disciplined financial life is saying no today so you can have a much better tomorrow. And as you remember in Proverbs 12:24, it says if we don't work, you know, we won't be a leader. But in fact, we become a slave. In Proverbs 22:7, this in the Contemporary English Version, it says, the poor are ruled by the rich, and those who borrow are slaves of moneylenders. Financial discipline today will keep you from being a slave to someone tomorrow. And maybe we should say it, I could say it another way, honey. If you lead an undisciplined life financially, instead of spending your retirement years visiting your grandchildren, family, friends, you'll be greeting your family and friends as they walk through the doors of McDonald's or Walmart. Just saying.
It's true.
You know, making the tough decisions now so we don't have to live a life without choices later is the way to go.
Number three, successful people associate with people who dream dreams and have goals, while the other folks, they're just wishers. They wish they had a better life, but they never do anything about it. You're blessed or cursed by the people you associate with.
That's true.
Let me say the same that sentence, but in a different way. You will either be successful or not by the people that you associate with. Make a list of your seven closest friends. And then, you know, down one side and then across the top, write four questions. Here are the questions. What does this person add to my life? What's the greatest negative influence this person has on my life? What's the last positive idea, scripture, or thought this person shared with me? Does this person motivate me to be all that I can be with him? Think about those questions as you go down a list of seven people.
And you might say, are you adding that to other people's lives too?
That's exactly right.
Because it's a mutual benefit when you have a friend. Should be just as good on one side as it is on the other.
It only makes sense.
That's right.
To associate with people who can encourage, exhort, build you up, and help you pursue your dreams of success. Surround yourself with people who also have a dream, a goal, a vision of what they want their lives to be.
That's it.
1 Corinthians 15:33 in the New Living Translation. Do not be so deceived and misled. Evil companionships, communion associations, corrupt and depraved good manners and morals and character.
Number four, successful people are not thrown by obstacles in the way of their success. Unsuccessful people whine when that things are unfair and just not working out the way they think that they should. So what or who's the greatest obstacle or limitation that you face in achieving the goals and the dreams that you have? Look in a mirror for your answer. Yep, that's it, because that's wherein lies the answer as well as possibly the problem. You know, when we look in a mirror, we need to be looking with the eye of the spirit. Don't look at the natural eye at your physical appearance or maybe even what you're wearing. Forget about people, what people have said about you, perhaps it was negative, and more importantly, what you've thought about your own abilities and failures in the past. That is exactly where it's at, in the past. When we look in the mirror, we need to realize that we're not alone. We have got the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit living within us, and they're on our team. In Deuteronomy 28:8, in the Contemporary English Version, it says, "The Lord your God is giving you the land, and he will make sure you are successful in everything you do. Your harvest will be so large that your storehouses will be full." Wow, now that's a scripture to claim. You know, we could give you a number of reasons why whining is not a great idea. But we really only need to give you one. The truth of the matter is God doesn't think too much of it.
Can I tell you what I tell people when they whine around me? I ask them if they want some cheese with their whine.
There you go. In Numbers 11:10, Message Bible, it says, Moses heard the whining, all those families whining in front of their tents. God's anger blazed up. Moses saw that things were in a bad way. That is a great Numbers 11. You should read that in the Living Bible, just saying. Go ahead.
Number five, successful people manage their time and their lives, while others wonder what happened to their time. You decide, not somebody else, not the passing of time on a clock. You decide what you'll do with every minute of every day that God's given you. Don't be discouraged, brothers. There's a way around hindrances. But before I give you that next scripture, let me say this to you. If you live in a state where you're staying at home, what are you doing while you're staying at home?
That's right.
Are you, passing time by watching stuff on television or whatever comes your way? Are you reading any books? Have you intensified your time reading the Bible?
Yeah.
Did you used to say, I never have time to read the Bible? Well, now you got it.
I love it.
So the question is, are you doing it?
That's it.
Well, I don't have time to pray in the morning. You got the time now.
That's it.
What are you doing? Pray. Hallelujah.
Amen. 10.
So as I was saying, that was extra.
That's good.
Don't be discouraged by others. Nehemiah 6:9, New Living Translation. They were just trying to intimidate us, imagining that they could discourage us and stop the work. So I continued the work with even greater determination.
That's right.
God wants us to take charge of our divine destiny with a firm determination to make our days count.
Amen.
To maximize the time. Psalm 90:12, Contemporary English Version. Teach us to use wisely all the time we have. Here's a revelation. The Rolling Stones song, Time is on My Side, can be a reality of life if you make the right choices.
It's true.
Make the right choices.
Wow. Successful people, hallelujah, are willing to make tough decisions. Unsuccessful people are always looking for an easy way out. You know, if we would ask the average person if they were a coward, they'd probably emphatically say, well, no, of course not. However, the response is being offered, you know, that's offered in good times, the real question of character and intestinal fortitude is determined when things get tough. Jeremiah 46:20 in the Message Bible says, too bad, Egypt, a beautiful sleek heifer attacked by a horsefly from the north. All her hired soldiers are stationed to defend her. Like well-fed calves they are. But when their lives are on the line, they'll run off, cowards every one. When the going gets tough, they'll take the easy way out. You know, we can talk like Daniel in the lion's den. Well, if I were put in the lion's den, I'd do this. Until we get in the lion's den. My mother-in-law always used to call it armchair Christians. You know, this is what I'd do if I was in that tough situation. But we don't know until we get into a tough situation. So what appears to be an easy way out of adverse circumstances can turn into a slippery slope of failure and disillusionment. The point is, if we want to become debt-free and have more than enough, there are going to be times that we're going to have to make some tough decisions, like say, N-O, to our children and to other people and even things for we want ourselves. You know, God highly respects those who can make tough decisions for the right reasons and stand up and fight for what's right and a better way of life.
You know, one more thing about what you're doing while you're staying at home.
Yes.
On Judgment Day, when you stand before the Lord, He says, well, what'd you do while you stayed at home?
In that year of 2020, huh?
In that year of 2020. Will you be ready to tell Him boldly what you were doing?
Hallelujah.
Or you want to hem and haul?
Think about it.
Number 7, successful people realize success is a journey, not a destination.
That's right.
Unsuccessful people become roadkill. On the financial highway of life.
Doesn't have to be that way.
Arthur Ashe, one of the renowned tennis greats, said, success is a journey, not a destination. The doing is usually more important than the outcome. Not everyone can be number one.
That's right.
But I would add, everybody can make an effort
to
be number one. When you focus on success as a journey instead of a destination, you have the potential to experience some sort of success every day.
Wow.
Now, you don't want to wait until you arrive to experience the exhilaration and satisfaction of success. Your ultimate and lasting success is based on what you learn, overcome, and endure on your trip from where you are to where God wants you to be. That's the key. And make no mistake about it. God wants each of us to be successful.
Amen.
He really does. Judges 18:5. Then they said, ask God whether or not our journey will be successful. And by the way, if you're not moving forward on the highway to success, you're standing still, and watch out. You might be hit by a car.
Number 8. Successful people are focused on where they are going, their goals and their future. Unsuccessful people are focused on what they're doing today and maybe this weekend. The enemy's number one tactic is in delaying or destroying your future is to break your focus. We've said that so many times. To cause you to break that focus on the things that, little inconsequential things that keep you from your future success. Sadly, some people's long-range goals include where they're going to eat this weekend or what they're going to do when they finally get out of this captivity. Hey, instead of making the most of what is going on right now. In Luke 9:41, in the Message Bible, it says, Jesus said, what a generation, no sense of God. Are you listening? No sense of God, no focus into your lives. How many times do I have to go over these things? How much longer do I have to put up with this? Wow, that scripture, it's fairly obviously that God wants us to be focused on the kingdom, our future success, and not just stuff. In Philippians 3:15-16 in the Message Bible again, it says, so let's stay focused on that goal, those of us who want everything God has for us. If any of you have something else in mind, something less than total commitment, God will clear your blurred vision. You'll see it yet. Now that we're on the right track, let's stay on it. The point, focus, can be simply defined as whatever has your attention. If focus is important to God, then it should definitely be important to us.
Number 9, successful people are closers and finishers.
Yay.
Unsuccessful people rarely complete a goal or a project. Have you ever started a project or an assignment or a job with a certain burst of enthusiasm, only to slow down when you hit the first obstacle and stop short of your goal? By continuing obstacles. I'm getting a witness in the house from somebody. Congratulations if you have, because you're normal.
That's it.
You're normal.
It's a learning process.
But you don't have to stay average.
That's right.
That's what average people do. Those who rise above the crowd are the ones who go the extra mile. While others are relaxing in front of the television, on the internet, social media, reading what everybody else is doing with their lives instead of making use of what they're doing with their life. Hallelujah. Strength of a person's character and drive to success is determined by whether or not they can finish what they've started. Employees who complete the task are more highly valued than those who, though they made a valiant effort, fail to complete the project. The one by whom every effort, thought, and action should be measured was a finisher. John 4:34, New Living Translation. Then Jesus explained, my nourishment comes from doing the will of God who sent me and from finishing his work. Finishing his work. Y'all don't underline that. Not only was Jesus a finisher, but he made us that way as well. Philippians 1:6, New Living Translation. And I'm certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it's fully finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns.
Hallelujah.
On Judgment Day, we want to be able to say the words found in 2 Timothy 4:7. Classic Amplified. I have fought the good fight, worthy, honorable, and noble fight. I have finished the race. I have kept firmly held the faith.
Wow. Number 10, successful people understand that success is more than just money. Unsuccessful people think that success is only about what they see on television, or maybe that line of success, right? You know, if you ask most people what success means to them, they would cite the acquisition of expensive or, you know, exquisite things, perhaps. The kind of things that you see on the lifestyle of the rich and famous. But the kind of things that make others go ooh and ah, such as an expensive house or a luxury car or designer clothes or valuable jewelry or super cool vacations, you know, they're the things that, you know, millions of people dream about. But really, is that what success is all about? What does the Bible say about success? In fact, the word is only found really once in the King James Version of the Bible, and that's in Joshua 1:8. Let me read it to you. It says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." Guess what it's moored on? It is foundational, the Word of God. Two things that we should notice in this passage. First, we're responsible for our own prosperity and success. The word thou and thy, I know they're King James Version, but they're found six times in here. And we know that in contemporary, it's going to be you and your. So regardless of the translation, though, the message is really the same. Whether or not we're successful and prosperous is a result of the decisions we make and the actions we take using this scripture. Second, the word success in the Hebrew is H79:19, and it means to be prudent, to have insight, give attention to, wisely understand, act wisely, and prosper. Success is not what we have, but rather what we become.
That's good.
Success is not what we have, but what we become.
Number 11, successful people willing to overlook C period, R period, A period, P period. Condemnation, rejection, anxiety, and prejudice.
There you go.
Unsuccessful people, that obstacles or people stand in the way of pursuing their dreams.
Mm.
Jealousy, well, it causes people to do some crazy things.
So true.
It really does. Most people want you to succeed in life as long as you're not more successful than they are. That's just truth. Too many believers have allowed others to plant things in their subconscious response mechanism that makes them condemn, reject, accuse, and be prejudiced against people who've succeeded where they have failed. God does not take kindly to that. Proverbs 17:5, New Living Translation. Those who mock the poor insult their maker. Those who rejoice at the misfortune of others will be punished.
Think of that.
Our purpose in this teaching is not to explain the nature of how to handle the C period, R period, A period, P period, but to point out what should be our proper response to the success of others. By the way, I did a teaching once. You go to HaroldHerry.com and search C period, R period, A period, P period.
That's true. That's true. And the point is you cannot have what you resent others having.
That's it.
It's just a law that will always be found true.
A successful person is always blessed.
Yes.
Motivated by the success of others.
That's right.
Because they know it won't be long.
Amen.
Before it's happening to them.
That's it.
Hallelujah. Romans 12:15, Classic Amplified. Rejoice with those who rejoice, sharing others' joy. And weep with those who weep, sharing others' grief. When we get excited
yes.
about somebody else's success as we are our own, we got to watch out because success is about to overtake us.
Amen.
As previously stated in this teaching, Jesus is our standard of behavior and excellence.
Hallelujah.
John 13:15, in the New Living Translation. I have given you an example to follow. Do as I've done for you.
Mm.
Hallelujah.
And number 12, successful people pay attention to the details. Unsuccessful people are bored with the day-to-day activity, which is really what makes tomorrow successful, the day-to-day activity. Someone once said the devil is in the details. Frankly, they didn't take time to explain it, but we interpret it as meaning, one, the neglected details can spoil the whole project. And a similar, saying come along, take care of the little things and the big things will take care of themselves. But regardless, the point is made that we cannot ignore the simple things that make up life because those simple things done day by day bring success. But if the devil can get in there and spoil your focus on what's necessary to be successful, then he can disrupt or delay or, if not, destroy success. your destiny. If you ever wondered how God feels about attention to details, hey, being the fundamental of your success, we suggest that you read 2 Corinthians 6, 1 through 3. I'm going to read it in the Message Bible and read it carefully. It says, "Companions, as we are in this work with you, we beg you, please don't squander one bit of this marvelous life God has given us. God reminds us, I heard your call in the nick of time. The day you needed me, I was there to help. Well, now is the right time to listen, the day to be helped. Don't put it off. Don't frustrate God's work by showing up late, throwing a question mark over everything we're doing. Our work as God's servants gets validated or not in the details."
Read that last sentence again.
"Our work as God's servants gets validated or not in the details."
That's so true.
The difference between ordinary and extraordinary is found in the attention given to the details. There's actually one other main difference between successful and unsuccessful people, and that, of course, is the choices that you make. You know, you're the only one who'll determine whether or not your life is successful. It's you. It's nobody else. We can encourage, exhort, and edify, and do the best we can to keep you motivated, but it'll be the choice that you make as to whether your life will be successful or not. Is
Absolutely.
That true? Amen.
Absolutely it is. Absolutely it is.
God is good. He gives us what we need. He gives us what we need. But we have to use the knowledge to go forward.
Glory to God.
Amen.
Glory to God. I want to tell you something else you can do if you're staying at home or even if you're not. That's dial in to Rich Sauce for Breakfast.
True.
Every day.
Yes.
I mean, it's good stuff. If I do say so myself.
That's it. God has inspired it.
He has. He has. I'm thinking about the last two or three we did. I'm also thinking about the next six or seven that we're going to do. I know what they are. I got to write them. But I know what they are. I'm pumped up.
Good to know where you're going.
You look good.
Now focus and keep going, right?
You look good.
Well, thank you. We match.
We do.
All right. Let's.
Diane pointed that out. Diane Kay. Hallelujah. If you've been blessed by the teaching, by the minute, let me say this for
you. I'm going to say it.
Every Monday through Friday night, I send out a meme. You know, that's like a picture with a little something on it.
Exhortation.
Exhortation. Provoke you thinking. We're getting amazing responses from this. If you've not signed up for it, just send me an email, harold@haroldherring.com, with your phone number. We'll make sure you get it. It'll bless you.
Amen.
It really will. Hallelujah. And speaking of being blessed, take your mouse, go to the top where it says sow a seed. Just ask God, what seed did have you sow?
That's all we ask.
And if you're watching on Facebook, then can they sow on Facebook too?
There's a link
on Facebook where you can do it. And if you are watching on Facebook, do go to haroldherring.com, click the button that says Sunday Night Live, because there's an outline, complete outline, of what we taught tonight. Amen?
Amen.
Glory to God. Well, till tomorrow morning at 8:30 Eastern. God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts.
And wear a face mask wherever you go. We didn't today, but I do wear a face mask. And I show just, I know my wife is punching me, telling me not to do this, but I got to do it. Can you see that? But I also believe in changing things up. In the midst of crisis, you need to find a sense of humor.
Okay. God bless you.
And
we'll
trails.
See you tomorrow on the live call.
Yep.
All right.
Bye-bye.